Warning, the host of this podcast has a penchant for the pontification of puns and an altruistically alienating affection for alliteration. If you suffer a weak constitution or get annoyed easily, you may want to seek prior medical advice or avoid this particularly perplexing podcast as the host is unbalanced as a washer full of shoes. Salutations, stoners. This is your Dosin' of Dope Jackpot here again with another installment of the Chronic Insomnia Podcast. Here with Beth Van Elswick, the Hemp Huntress. We're going to talk about whatever she wants to talk about, really. So why don't we get into it? Go ahead and introduce yourself again. It's a little redundant, but that's how these things work.
Hey, no problem. My name is Beth, and yeah, I go by the Hemp Huntress. Definitely got a huge passion for hemp, so I can go on and on for days about that. Got into the idea of hemp back with Jack Herer's book, Emperor Wears No Clothes. Then re-brought into hemp with Doug Fine and Hempbound, and got to meet him, and that was about 6 years ago. And my passion just got reinvigorated of why aren't we doing this yet? Really lucky to be living in Oregon. So 6 years ago when cannabis went legal, jumped into that. Been a cannabis user my whole life. So I real, you know, knowledgeable. Yeah, knowledgeable about that. And learned a lot more, obviously. It's not like it was back in the 80s. but yeah, and then when hemp went legal, I made the jump to really get into hemp and help in the beginning, you know, seed, craft hemp, CBD obviously is what America's chosen to lead with. Right. Personally, I am really, really trying to get people excited about fiber and right. hemp insulation, all these things that don't sound as exciting as CBD, but really are. So from, you know, that's kind of my deal. And I just want to help people get started growing or you got an idea. I mean, now's the time, man. What innovation do you have? I bet we can do it with hemp.
I absolutely agree. I love that. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted you on. It's my thing. And I've been talking to a few people recently about it, like at the Emerge conference and things like mm-hmm. that, because they have the CBD USA Expo. And yeah. like, I've been preaching this forever. It's one of the things that I personally think that because CBD is great for what it did by itself, honestly, like if you know on a medical level, on a, you know, on a tactile, on a practical level, CBD isn't shit. I mean, it serves a purpose. And what it does, like really what it, like it serves more of a legislative and a cultural purpose than it does a medicinal purpose in my eyes. Like it does help to you know, to more efficient organize the cannabinoids like terpenes, and it does help to you know, it's got the deleterious effect on THC, but it got people that were on the fence off the fence. Yes. And that's the most important innovation yes. of CBD.
Yeah.
Because from my standpoint, like Generation X, Generation Y, hemp was always a thing. Like yep. before I'd even heard about CBD, I knew that, you know, like hemp, it's done a lot of work, and we wouldn't be here without, you know, the innovations and the discoveries and the fact that, you know, people, it, that is the gateway drug as well. Like it got people talking about, you know, the, yeah. the benefits, things like that. Like it was those people who were like, you know, it was the soccer moms and, you know, those Cub Scout dads that are just like, you know, they remember back fondly in college when they smoked a doobie at a, you know, an Allman Brothers concert or something like that, you know, and then they start talking about, but those are the people now, the community leaders and the things like that. So it got those people who were like, ooh, you know, it's bad because it's illegal, not it's bad for any other reason, but then started right. talking about it and it opened it up. And it's the same thing in the military now. Active duty members can take CBD. And that's huge. As a veteran who has that on the record, it's huge to hear that. I was talking about this with some other people. If the VA started producing hemp, that would solve every single problem that the VA has just in that one plant.
No kidding.
The medicinal value, the buildings, the clothes, the jobs, the support. The VA could become a self-sustained autonomous organization completely severed from the, you know, the voluntold situation that it's in right now with the government, where it's like, you have to do this, you have to mandate this, but we're not going to give you anything and you have to do it all yourself. So it could become, you know, totally self-sustainable. And that's the one thing that I love about hemp, but a lot of people don't know. And I think there's like a disconnect. People don't necessarily initially think, oh, you know, CBD comes from hemp and hemp may, you know, makes everything. And hemp didn't just build America, hemp built the world. Like hemp has yeah. been a material that people have used, wrote, like it's the ropes and the pitch that held the ships together that discovered the new world. You know, it's yes. the paper that you know every document in every country has ever been signed on since you know pyramids were being built. You know, it's what literally what history is written on and what holds together you know cultures. And people, I don't think, really realize that. And I think because, like, in my generation, you know, like, I had a hemp backpack and hemp jewelry and,
yeah,
you know,
the bracelets and the cool stuff. Yeah.
Before it was anything else. So yeah. I think in my generation of people, like, from, like, in their 30s to 40s, I think that it was kind of like, yeah, it's about fucking time you guys recognize this thing. Like, I love to get high. I smoke weed all the time. I love it in all its forms. It's wonderful. It's Candyland. But like the world needs to be, you know, needs to recognize the fact that hemp not only replaces every single textile that we're manufacturing today, but the fuels that the machines that make those textiles, you know, are fueled with can also be used with it.
But see, right in there lies the problem. I mean, I like to call myself a disruptive capitalist because our real problem, you know, one of our problems is education, obviously educating people about it. But I see our real problem is the benefits of hemp. They kick into, you know, they really distract from those profits of pharmaceuticals. They distract exactly. from the profits or, you know, I mean, just we see the numbers. Opiate addiction is down. Opiate deaths are down where cannabis is legal. You and I celebrate, hospitals celebrate, but trust that the pharmacy company is not happy.
Oh, absolutely.
And the fact that you can't replicate, they can keep trying. And good luck to them. They can keep trying to replicate this into a drug and replicate it into something synthetic. But the fact of the matter is I'm growing it on my deck. I can grow it in my backyard. So can you now in Oklahoma? I mean, trust Oregon and Oklahoma. I think we're sister brother states for how we're doing things. It's about the farmer.
Definitely.
It's about the local person being able to innovate and sustain and maybe get some seed not from Monsanto. Maybe really be your own farmer on your own land, growing your own crop.
And a little bit of that like stubborn, like I'm going to do this and I dare you to tell me not to type attitude.
Right.
Like a lot
right.
of other places are growing and there's a movement. But here I've noticed because I moved from Florida a couple months ago and I moved out here because I lived in Washington for so many years.
Oh,
and I love the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
So I moved here. Because it reminded me of the same feel, the same culture, the same industry that it was, you know, in 2010, 2011. So I came out here because it's blowing up. But yeah, I've noticed that the farmers, like, because that's what it was always before. It was always it's always been an agricultural state. But it's one of those agricultural states where it's like, you know, they came out here and there was nothing. It was barren and they made it a fucking farm.
Yep.
So that's what these people are like. They're like, I've been doing this forever. And a lot of them have been growing, you know, hemp and cannabis for a lot longer than it's been legal. And that's what you do. I mean, like anybody who's been in this industry for real has done things that aren't necessarily, you know, legitimate, but fuck them. You know, we wouldn't be here without it. So yeah, there's definitely that. And what I love, I was watching some of your videos and I absolutely love it. Cause it's bringing something that the industry that the, you know, cause coming from Florida, the pharmaceutical industry really destroyed the cannabis industry in Florida with vertical integration. The previous mayor was all of his funding and his history came from, you know, pharmaceuticals.
Yep.
So he made it so that they had time to kind of pull out before the bottom dropped out, like the rest of the industries in the other states in Colorado and California, where like all of a sudden, bam, it's legal and it's open legal. So it's like 6 to 12 plants, you know, personally, or, you know, all this in Florida, it's like you have a year-long card and a 7th-month prescription, but you've only got like 500 milligrams of this on your thing, or you've only got like an ounce of, like, it took 2 years before flower even got on there, and edibles just got put on like 6 months ago, so it's ridiculous. So that screwed that up, but I love the, you know, the bringing something that otherwise mainstream media would tell you is impossible to do. It's this whole huge industrial organization, but you're like, no, we're going to do this in my backyard, and we're going to plant this garden, and I've got, you know, I've got eggplants and I've got carrots and I've got chrysanthemums and I've got cannabis and I've got hemp, you know, like it's, I absolutely love the fact that you're bringing this into everybody's home, despite the burgeoning industry. And it's just like, yes, you can have your huge industry, but I'm going to sustain myself with this plant because that's what it's for.
Right. And you know, I've having been in the industry and you've been around too, so you've heard the same thing. One of the things I kept running into a couple years ago was, you know, I grow the most. I grow the biggest. I'm the best. And I really started thinking about it. And if we have one person growing 1 million acres, awesome. But if we have a million Americans growing an acre of hemp, you don't think that's going to change everything? That's what changes everything, is everybody growing, is everybody giving this a chance. Grow a plant. And if you're uncomfortable or you can't grow cannabis, then grow a hemp plant. Let's do it. It will change. I mean, it will change everything.
So I was looking at your profiles, watching some of the videos, and I was seeing, you know, like some of the businesses you did in the 90s and the entrepreneurial spirit. And I love that kind of, there are a few people, and a lot of it is fading nowadays, not necessarily fading, just kind of being overshadowed by the big industry and, you know, the flash and the pomp of everything. And everybody's got a product and everybody's, you know, got a style and things like that. And a lot of the businesses, they're kind of getting away from the way it used to be. Like when I first started, you know, and I've told this story countless times, you know, I got my recommendation and the doctor was like, hey, take a copy of this and put it in the basement of your grow house, like where you work, so that you can add, you know, your plants, because that's a collective, that's a cooperative, you know. And you were talking about, you know, like, I would rather have 1 million people growing an acre than, you know, one person growing a million. And I agree with that, in the sense that true, like, community growth, the true growth of a culture or a movement or a people or anything, you know, it can be built on the backs of a few people or a few innovators, but a truly powerful or you know, strong civilization that's going to last is better built by everyone, because they appreciate what it took to build, you know, that foundation, as opposed to watching someone do it and appreciating all the beauty of the skill, you know, looking back on it and knowing that you had a hand in something that's going to last for, you know, the rest of everyone's life.
Well, and absolutely. And when you're doing it, I think, you know, and you touched on something, just from food to clothing, how many, I mean, there are decades of people that can't grow a tomato.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't know where food actually comes from. And mm-hmm. that sounds crazy, but it's true. So I'm almost hoping hemp kind of brings that back too. Like you're saying, get your own knowledge, get your own hands dirty and learn something and be sustainable, so that you don't have to turn on the mainstream news or whatever, you know, all this propaganda stuff. If you know the facts yourself, because you did it yourself, then you know when the government says that cannabis is a gateway drug. We've been laughing about that since the 80s. We knew it was a lie. We knew it was an out and out lie.
Like, it never took me anywhere. Like,
no.
I've always wondered, like, what was that gateway? Like, I'm looking at stuff, and I think more often than not, I've sat down and contemplated things just being stoned out of my mind and be like, that's a bad fucking idea. I'd be like, you know what? I wonder if I'd ever want to try crack. Fuck that, dude. No, man. I wouldn't do crack. What the, you know, like, I think weed has deterred me from doing, you know, like, I've done stupid things, but I've never done, like, harmful or dangerous things.
No. And let alone now we know, and I have a great friend on Instagram that goes by Exit Drug. Now we know, factually based, scientifically based, it's actually an exit drug from opiates, from mm-hmm. alcoholism. So how many decades have people suffered unnecessarily because our government likes to make money and be systemically racist? Enough is enough. Enough exactly. is enough. It's time to grow some plants, bring back that American ingenuity, that innovation. I mean, we have 330 million people in this country. Let's get like at least 10% of them thinking about an innovative idea and starting their own business. And it's just on its own organically going to make everything better.
Exactly. And we can even take it a step further. And you take that 10% and, you know, 5% of those people grow and 5% right. produce, but then that 5%, 2% produce building materials, 2% produce, yep. you know, like manufacturing textiles or then fuels yep. and things like that. But then, you know, that's even after the process of extracting the CBDs right. and the medicine and things like that. That's literally just biomatter production. So like what right. other, not even just plant, like what other substance on the planet can one be used for a medicinal, literal life-saving purpose, and then take the schmutz that's left over and literally build a civilization that'll last five times longer than any building material out today?
Yeah. Let alone if you're in a, you know, a nice climate that's not too extreme, you're looking at either no need for a heater or AC, or at least incredibly reduced bills. So
Yeah,
again,
and no mold.
every issue we have, and it sounds crazy when we say this, but I'll say 99. 99% of the issues America says they have, we can solve with hemp. We have a
Absolutely.
housing issue. We can make affordable housing. We can grow it. With food, there's no reason for us to have a food crisis in this country. That's embarrassing. I mean, that's just horrible.
Especially when you can literally pull it from the ground or like, you know,
And
pluck it
grow
out
it
of a tree.
yourself.
Exactly.
And that's the thing is we've got to change some attitudes of, you know, not relying on the government, not relying on institutions. Do more for yourself and learn more for yourself.
Well, that's exactly you would because you would you did like the air quotes and you think it's crazy. And a lot of times that's the only way, because if you look at it, that's the only way that the government ever won over like the war on drugs or the war on cannabis and things like that, is because if you look at it for the last 30, 40, 50 years, no matter what they've said, it's here, it's legal, everybody knows now the actual like what we've been saying. So instead, like, and I'm sure that, you know, however long ago people sat down and, you know, they had these clandestine meetings and it was like, you know. And it was all right, well, we can't argue with the benefits of the plant. We can't argue with the way it makes you feel. So we have to make the people who love it look fucking crazy. So when you say like, oh, you know, it might sound, no, it doesn't sound crazy. It sounds crazy because they said that it sounds crazy. But no, this one
Good
fucking
point.
plant can do absolutely everything. This one plant can make you feel good. It can cure what ails you. It can build your house. It can clothe your children. It can feed your family. It can, you know, stabilize your economy. You know, with everything about
It'll
it, and you know,
stabilize it
that's
in a way you and
literally
I like. Like it'll
right.
stabilize the economy the way like, and I clarify that because we do still have plenty of people that are happy with the trickle down
Oh,
capitalism
absolutely.
system, you know, and that's great. They like going for making $1 million, and I'd rather everybody be able to pay their bills.
Right, like it's I don't want rich, you know, fame. I want to be able to sustain myself and do what I, you know, like to do or enjoy doing. You know, like I don't need millions of dollars. Like I was doing budget the other day because I just moved here and shit like that. Like I would comfortably $1,800 a month. You know, like I'm totally fine with less than $2,000 a month as long as my bills are paid. You know, I can, you know, I've got enough space to, you know, if I want to have some plants and grow some plants or just, you know, make something. Like I don't need some craziness, and all that is, you know, is achievable if, you know, a portion of the people in control or a portion of the people, you know, that are barking the loudest. Just chilled out and realized that you don't need all that. Like you
And
don't
I think
need,
it's
you know.
coming. I really do. That's one of the benefits I hope comes out of maybe a little bit of a pause for the past year is, and then this industry for sure. You know, and I get it. I know the acreage holdings are out there and the canopy growths, but there's enough of us on the West Coast that have been doing this for a long time, and folks like you that have been doing this for a long time, that we're going to fight till the end to be cooperative, to support our fellow farmers, to make sure where we're getting product, it's safe. I mean, I remember in Oregon, the pushback we had when we wanted to include testing for pesticides and heavy metals. And it wasn't consumers that pushed back, it was the government that pushed back because
Because the more you
now,
legitimize the practices, the less control that they have over it in the long run.
and now cannabis literally is tested more and safer than the food you eat in Oregon.
Oh yeah.
And that's a good standard to set. I don't have a problem saying, well, raise your food standards. That, I mean, that's the whole idea. Why aren't we all eating? It shouldn't even be organic food. It should be food, or then call the other stuff something else. But again, that's a whole nother topic and a whole nother game. They play a whole game with that. But with the cannabis, it's time. It's common sense time, facts. And I think having decades now of people working with it, you're not going to change minds.
Absolutely, and there have been a lot of things that have come out recently, and it is going to happen soon. I think mostly yes, because of the pandemic, a lot of people, you know, not only had to find, you know, whatever option they could to seek relief, but a lot of people were just sitting around not doing anything, thinking about things. And innovation, you know, boredom is another, you know, mother of innovation outside of necessity as well. Like, you know, there's a lot of things. Like I've thought about a bunch of different things just sitting here and be like, I wonder, you know, if we could use that, you know, just sitting around. But definitely also like the old world view, unfortunately, is still holding on, but we have to wait for them to die out. But that's not going to be much longer before those people who fought so hard are no longer, are physically just no longer going to exist. So they're not going to be, you know, a roadblock. But then also it's just the mainstream instant culture that we have. Like something happens and within seconds, if not live, everyone knows about it, no matter what it is. So it's one of those like, oh shit, you made a discovery. Bam. Everybody fucking knows about it. And there's no way that anybody can be like, oh, well, that's bullshit. Or that's a liar. These crazy fucking hippies are eating babies and shit. No, they're fucking lying. No, like everybody fucking saw it. You know, like the rat dragged that pizza up those fucking stairs and this guy cured his cancer. Like everybody has seen it. It's got millions of fucking views. You know, so that's done a lot for, you know, as vapid as that culture may be sometimes. It's definitely done a lot for the fact that like now there is no longer a big brother because everybody's got a fucking camera.
Yeah.
Like there is no longer this big shadowy organization covering up the truth because the truth is being broadcast live streaming, you know, over everything. And we do have a good amount of the crazy rich eccentric people that are like, you know, pushing this stuff or, you know, starting up their own companies and businesses and things like that. And, you know, saying, hey, you're full of shit. This is what it is. You know, everybody knows this now. So it's vastly improving and it's happening at a very fast rate. But I also then worry that, cause I saw this in Florida a lot, you're going to get these pharmaceutical reps or these former business, you know, owners and leaders that are trying to capitalize. And it's happening here a lot too, because they give out so many licenses and that's great. But you get these people who come in from other states that just want to capitalize and they've got a little bit of startup and they just, you know, they just want to sell whatever, whenever and make money. And it kind of dilutes the industry feel a little bit, but it's kind of one of those, like you gotta take the flotsam with the jetsam type thing. Like it's going to come no matter what. It's just as long as everybody is informed about, you know, what's going on and what they, you know, can do and what they can have access to or what, you know, is the truth of it. Then it's just going to be just another thing like everything else. And it's going to evolve like it has been.
Well, and I have a hopeful prediction on some of this. I saw it in hemp and I saw it in cannabis early on and I call it stupid money. So the folks that have that stupid money, I don't see them profiting yet. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, and we've kind of touched on this, like you and I have different goals with cannabis and hemp. You know, it's about bettering society, educating people, and changing the world. The people that are like that, the carpetbaggers or whatever term you want to use nowadays, they're not making money because they throw stupid money at it. They run the same old bullshit systems. And then they wonder why they're not making a profit. Where you and I know we got to watch every penny. We have to run this like a real business, not a paper business, and that it is profit and loss. It's not pieces of paper, this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. I just personally haven't seen too many people playing in that game make long-term gains. And I, on the stock market too. I mean, we saw, you know, the first one to hit the stock market crashed and now that company had to get bought out by Canada. Yeah. Okay. Good job, guys. You know, and this is a $100 million company and they had to get bought out by Canada. If you are an American cannabis company and you have to get bought out by Canada, you should be embarrassed.
It is definitely, but like
they threw more stupid money at it, right? They bought New York and New Jersey, so
that's what they do, and that's fine. That you know, like those companies are always going to exist no matter what. But yeah, you're right because
I don't think it's
like,
going to last as much as in other industries.
I mean, it'll last for what it is because, like, I witnessed this in Florida. There are a few places that I work for. They were a consortium.
Okay.
Or, you know, so it was like we had constant influx and changing of investors. There were always somebody coming in. Like, there were shareholders in Texas, and there were shareholders down in South America. There were shareholders in Canada. There were shareholders in Europe. And there were constant investors coming in and out. But it was like the CEO was always stepping down or the CFO was always taking over and the COO was leaving. But his brother was taking, you know, so yes, it's always going to be there. But it's so complicated and so contradictive of itself that it'll hit a point and stagnate. And yes, there will always be a name. And yes, there will always be a presence. But they're not going to do any damage. They're not going to do any real damage because half of their effort is spent revamping or infighting or restructuring or selling or liquidating. So it's kind of one of those, it's like an Ouroboros. Like it is a beast that will always exist, but it's just going to spend half of its life eating its own tail.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like they're really there. Bad. So like I've given up on that. Like that's one of the reasons I left Florida, because like I'm done fighting. I'm done being David. I'm done fighting this fucking giant, because this giant's always going to exist. I'm going to go somewhere where I can affect actual change, where people want to listen, and where it's not, you know, it doesn't cost you $100,000 just to get an opportunity to get a chance to maybe look at getting your license reviewed for getting your license, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck that. Cause it's going to be there and it's going to push, and the people that are there, and it's because it's a 70, what, billion dollar a year industry illegally for the last however many years. Obviously, once you legalize it, it's gonna fucking do the same, you know.
Yeah.
And in Florida, there's tourism, and that's fine. I just fucking hate that place anyway. But like, I don't worry about that side of it, simply because it's eating itself. Like, it's gonna exist, but it's not gonna do anything. So as long as people, you know, especially like in Oregon, that was huge with the decriminalization of everything. They were just like, fuck it.
Yep.
They're just like we understand, and it's gonna happen, because like I've been following maps out in California, and they're doing stuff with MDMA. Like, they're in third phase trials with MDMA for anxiety and depression and PTSD and stuff like that. And as somebody, you know, who has microdosed and has PTSD, that's fucking wonderful. Like, yes, it's a drug. Yes, it may be bad. Anything's a drug. If you take too much of it, you know, you can overdose on fucking aspirin.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't matter. It's not what it is. It's the same thing in the industry. It's the same thing in fucking language. It's the same thing with talking to your pet. Like, it's not what you say. It's how you say it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not what you're selling. It's how you sell it. You know, it's not what you take, it's how you take it. Like, it doesn't matter if it's ibuprofen or heroin. If you take too fucking much, if your body can't handle it, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. Like, I can like, my dog is here, and I can softly say, I'm gonna fucking murder you, and I hate you, and he loves me, and he's rubbing, and I can scream, I love you, and he goes and runs under the count.
True.
Like, it doesn't, you know. So it's and the government knows that better than everybody. The government and religion know that better than everybody else. And it's, you know, it's this is bad, and it's going to rot your teeth, and you're going to put your baby in the microwave, and you're going to, you know, like, end up homeless on the street, interchanging fluids with, you know, seedy individuals and shit like that. And it's not, like, it's how you do it. Like, look at alcohol. Look at the lives that alcohol has destroyed. And that's wonderful, because it's regulated and people can control it, and it's old world money.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it pays for stuff. Yeah, I was just gonna say it pays for it, buys senators and congressmen, and just like the pharmaceutical industry. I don't care which side, what side of the fence you're on, they're getting bought, and they're not for us. It's kind of like you said. That's the other thing on the flip side of that. I was thinking when you were saying that, I think sometimes one side of the fence yells at you, and the other side of the fence says it nicely, but they're saying the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because I just watched that the Moore Act, and then I watched supposedly the side that's on our side just absolutely add gross amendments, ruin the whole expungement of it, and do what they do. So now the fight is, we've got wolves in sheep's clothing. We've got to fight for the next 4 years.
I'm happy to fight them. It's a real process.
Yeah, happy to. But I think, like you said, I'm going to change the word. It's not about fight. It's about going where we can make a difference in Oklahoma, Oregon. I mean, we'll end up seeing each other in person, because I am going to come back to Oklahoma. There's some great hemp opportunities there from decades ago.
I actually, one of my previous guests, Davina, she just had a cousin who got his license to produce hemp out here.
Well, you have American hemp growing out there that hasn't been eradicated. Yeah, that's there since the 30s. You're one of the few states that still got true American natural hemp growing. So I'm looking forward to really partnering up with some folks in Oklahoma. And again, man, I just love hearing the same attitude like you're saying about self-sustainability and community intentionally working together and really making a real difference. I mean,
absolutely.
Talk about leaving a legacy for, you know, our kids, grandkids, or whatever. It's a plant. That's all we got to do is keep growing this plant, keep putting the truth out there, keep putting the facts out there. And I'm going to keep trying to get as many people as possible to grow it and get to know it and fall in love with it. Whether you're making your tea with it, or whether you're going to grow some hemp and make a chicken coop just to find out how herd works. Let's do it. Right. Let's get started and let's make a change. That's really, really what it's all about. And it will happen if folks like you and I keep keep going to those places where we can make a difference and get more people involved.
So what's like the one thing that you've seen that frustrates you that people need to realize? Like the one thing that you're just like, no, that's wrong. Like the misconceptions. What's the one thing that you just want everybody to realize, you know, this is not what it is. This is what it should be or something like that.
I think the one thing, and you touched on it, it's cannabis. I know we call it hemp because of legal reasons and for what it does. And I know we call pot cannabis, but at the end of the day, it's a cannabis sativa plant. And at the end of the day, CBD works better with other cannabinoids like THC. Right. At the end of the day, this plant in all its forms, in all its genres, in all its cultivars is safe. And not only safe, it changes the world. It makes people healthier. It feeds people. It houses people. It clothes people. And we've got to stop demonizing one cannabinoid over another or one legal definition of a plant over another. It's cannabis. It's amazing. And it's time to decriminalize and just let this thing be a plant and change some lives and economies and the world. I mean, everything. It's right, time. Like
it touches everything.
Bugs me is they separate us and it's cannabis. It's right. All good. It's all good.
What's the one thing, and it could be anything about the movement, the culture, your personal experience growing, uh-huh. consuming, what's the one thing that you enjoy, just that you kind of like, you get to do this, or you like your favorite aspect, that one thing that kind of at a certain point when everything's low or, you know, at the shitty moments, you're just like, this is why. Like, what's that one kind of sparkle in the back of your mind that keeps you going?
For me, it is that I have been able to change the lives of women and women of color. I know women of color that own land and grow hemp. And knowing we need more of that and knowing that the history, that gets me up every day. I mean, that's life-changing. And I mean, I thought I knew the history of hemp, but I've learned so much about the systemic racism of hemp and what happened to our black female farmers and our black farmers and brown farmers in general, that what gets me up every day is all Americans are going to start growing hemp, including the women and the women of color. And that gets me fired up because I get to talk to them. I get to meet them, yeah. And see the lives that are changed. And again, these aren't million acre I'm exaggerating. These aren't 100-acre farms. These are sometimes 1-acre, 20-acre farms that are changing lives, feeding families, and creating self-sustaining incomes.
Absolutely. That's great. Well, I loved having you on. This was a great, like, I love talking about, you know, what I call the similar differences and the different similarities that cannabis has. Like, you know, you can take one plant and grow it anywhere and it's going to reflect where you grow, you know, or you can take that one plant and make anything. Like, if you have a need, it's going to fill it. Like, I was talking to somebody, it's like the duct tape of the plant world. Like, true. You know, there isn't anything that you can't do with it. Yep. But I love what you're doing. The self-sustainability is a big thing of mine. Like, I love learning about what keeps me alive. And you know, what can, you know, sustain my life. So I love what you're doing. So keep doing that. Thank you for being on. I had a wonderful time. You're a delightful individual and I enjoy talking to you and I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, me too. But, I really do. I look forward to meeting you in person here. Maybe this summer, let's cross our fingers.
Right. Yeah. You know, hopefully we've got plenty of stuff. And enjoy the rest of the conference. Cause that thing is awesome.
Yeah. Merge is awesome.
I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the rest of that. And thank you guys for listening. I appreciate everything. You guys are the reason that I do it and you keep me going on. You keep me strong, man. Thank you so much for holding on to me. Like, it's so sorry. Jack on the door. But thank you guys. I appreciate everything. And thank you, MJBulls.com. Check them out for all the amazing podcasts that are on there. And once again, I appreciate it. Beth, the Hemp Huntress, thank you for being on my show. You're wonderful and you're changing the world. And I love you. Thank you so much. And thank you guys. And remember, tune in, toke up, and think. Chronic Insomnia Podcast.